Sunday school. We just came off Valentine's Day, which is all about intimacy. So before I go into intimacy with Jesus, thank you, youth people, if there's any of you left here, for taking care of our children on Friday nights. That was wonderful. I know it really blessed a lot of us parents who got to have a date night together and be out there. So thank you so much. I don't think many of them are here. Owen's here, Emma's here, two of them. Thank you, guys. Well done. Well done. How many of you listen to Charles Swindoll, Insight for Living, on the radio in the morning when you drive to work? Is there any of you? I often have it playing, and I hear a little bit here. He had a little something that that tweaked in my brain as an intro for this morning, talking about stress. How many of you have ever done a stress diet? A stress diet. Do you know what a stress diet is? Okay, a stress diet, it goes something like this. You go to bed at night, you start thinking in bed, and you say, you know, life just isn't working. I can't continue this way anymore. It's New Year's Day is a good day for it, or New Year's Eve, and you get up the next morning and say, something's got to change. I'm changing tomorrow morning, and I'm starting with my diet, the way I eat. That's your stress diet. And then it should be announced that this diet usually only lasts for one day. It's a one-day diet, okay? It's a one-day diet. So it goes like this. You get up for breakfast, and you have a half a grapefruit, a half a piece of whole wheat toast, no butter. The other half goes in the garbage. You have 8-ounce protein shake blended with spinach and almond milk. A little chia seed in there, maybe. For lunch, you have a 4-ounce lean, broiled, skinless, organic chicken breast. 1 cup of steamed zucchini. 1 cup of green tea, no cream, no sugar. And 1 Oreo cookie. Mid-afternoon snack, you have the rest of the package of Oreo cookies. 1 quart of Haagen-Dazs ice cream with 2 scoops of peanut butter on top. Supper, 2 loaves of garlic bread smothered in butter on both sides, a large pepperoni pizza, stuffed crust, extra cheese, a pitcher of root beer. And for dessert, a half a slab of cheesecake directly from the freezer. Have you ever been on the stress diet? Just me. Trying to eat healthy in the midst of a stressed out life is much like trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. It usually does not last very long. God has made no provision for you to live the Christian life on your own strength. All he has made provision for is for his Holy Spirit to live the Christian life through you. If you know what it feels like to jump out of the morning, jump out of bed, clear everything off your calendar, say, today I am going to live for Jesus, then you also know what it is to fail. Because he set it up in a way that you cannot do it apart from him. So we must understand this principle. Spiritually, we are made to live by the contact principle. And I'm going to explain what that is in a minute. Not the reservoir principle. Do you know what the reservoir principle is? It's kind of like when you fill up your gas tank. You go to the gas station, you fill up your gas tank, you expend the gas until it's gone, then you fill it up again, you go on your way again. You're in power. You're in the control. You have a reservoir at your disposal. You press down the pedal when you need a little more power. But eventually it's used up. That's not God's method. God operates on the contact principle. Also today known as the intimacy principle. It's based on staying closely connected with the source at all times. When we lived in Latvia, we rode trolley buses. You guys know what trolley buses are? I think they still have some in Montreal, maybe San Francisco. It's like those old American streetcars. They run off of a power line strung above the street. There's a little boom, I don't know what you call it, a little rod on top of the trolley bus. It's got like a U-shaped antenna, and it drags on that power line, takes power directly from the power line, and so it goes. Now, every once in a while, we'd hit bumps and so on, and in Latvia, the streets weren't that smooth, and all of a sudden, the buzzer would go off, the light would blink, and the bus would come to a complete stop. Now, what had happened? The bus was the same. The power was still there. But there was no connection. There was no connection. When we lose connection in our spiritual life, we are dead in our tracks. The bus stops right there. We're not moving anymore. There might be a lot of noise. There might be a lot of activity going on around. But that's all it is. It's noise and activity. There's no spiritual power for stuff to move inside. So we've been looking at our mission statement. If I can get that PowerPoint up there, the last few weeks. And let's read it. Let's read it together. How about that? Our mission is to see the church family transformed by intimacy with Jesus in order to reflect him to all people. So a couple weeks ago, Crystal was focusing on transformation, and she spoke specifically on sanctification, what that was all about. And now we're moving on to this underlined portion, intimacy with Jesus. If we had to get rid of everything else and keep one line in our mission statement, that's the one we'd keep. That's what makes everything else turn, revolve. There's befores and afters, but that is the most important. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to John 15 this morning. I'm going to also have it on the screen, but I'm going back and forth. And we're going to be spending quite a bit of time in John 15, verses 4 through 10. John 15, verse 4 through 10. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm going to read the rest so we get through it once together, and then we're going to jump back and forth. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. When Crystal spoke about sanctification, and I'm not going to do it all justice, but to just do it short, sanctification being God's maturing process in our life to transform us into his likeness, she said it's 100% God's work. You remember that? And what else did she say? She said it's also 100% ours. Or at least we have 100% part in it. I don't know if I want to call it work, but we have 100% part in it. And yes, maybe it is work. Our part, 100%, is remaining in intimacy with him. That's it. Everything else is his part. If we read Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at that for a minute. You'll see that it's all about him and what he does. Here, Paul is praying for the church, and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know him better. In other words, that you might become more intimately acquainted with him. I want you to know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then look at this. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. It's all about what he has done. He has done it all. He has raised him up. He has set Christ at his right hand, high above, in a place of authority, above all principalities, all powers. That's his location. That's a done deal, done by God. And then if we go to Ephesians 2, it's about us, what he did with us. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. He did that too. All of it. All of it. He made us alive in Christ. He loved us. He raised us up. He's having us sit together with him in heavenly places. Every bit of it. Nothing to do with you. Nothing whatsoever with your merit. Nothing whatsoever with you changing. Nothing about you becoming something. He just did it. He said, this is what I'm doing. As soon as you accepted him, you were placed in perfect union. He placed you in a position of ascendancy, a place of authority. You have your own little chair right up there beside Jesus. You're sitting together with him. That's where you belong. That's what he did. And everything is under your feet. Your job is to remain there. That's it. Remain. Remain. Are you with me? God did the justification. He will do the sanctification as we remain in him. So if we go on in John 15, jumping down to verse 7, I want to highlight that. And verse 8, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. We remain connected. He causes us to bear fruit, and we reflect the Father's glory. It's not complicated, is it? Fairly simple. Fairly straightforward. But that does not mean it's easy. And we want to talk a little bit about the struggle that we also face in living this out. You see, we live in a quick fix world. A world where we draw from reservoirs. We're fed reservoirs all the time. They tell us, fill up on this, and then you go. Do you know that you're bombarded with that message? Like, more than 100 times a day. It's there constantly. This is the answer. Fill up on this and go. Get it done. Get your supplies. Let's fix this. Let's do it. So that can so easily just seep into our thinking. And it goes maybe something like this for you. I don't know. But it, even in our Christian lives, we can say, well, I got the ascendancy. I'm up there with Jesus. Now let's get something done. Let's go. And it can be based on pure motives of pleasing God, of him, even something we've read in the Bible and said, we need to do this. And you're right, you do. But if it comes from that reservoir of filling up and going, you're in deep, deep trouble. Because without the connection, it ain't going to work. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter if you can read it and prove it 100 times in the Bible. It's the connection that matters. The disconnected branch withers and dies. Okay? So, how do we remain? You know, there's that paradoxical verse in Hebrews that we like to talk about striving to enter his rest. How do you strive and rest at the same time? Well, this one's a little bit like that. If you will, our part is to strive to remain in his love. That's our part. If you're going to spend any energy, spend it there. spend it there. So if we go on to verse 9, next one highlighted there, this is exactly what it says. I love you. I love you just as a father loves me. So remain in my love. Remaining in him is all about intimacy. It's all about love. I picked out two things this morning that I thought could be a help to us in remaining in his love. There's many more, but just want to pick out these two this morning. So we are seated high above with Christ, and in order to remain there, we must keep our affection, our gaze, our thoughts on him. Remain in my love. How? Number one, through Christ consciousness. Christ consciousness in all things. Where your gaze is, where your thoughts are, where your affections are, that's where you will be. Where your home is, that's where your heart is. And that home is not necessarily the same as your physical location. So let's just say, for instance, and I'm not saying this is the case, but that I see someone out there daydreaming. They kind of got a little bit of a glazed look over their eyes. What's happened to that person? Are there thoughts here? Maybe they're thinking about the football game this afternoon. Maybe they're thinking about going fishing. My thoughts go there sometimes. Maybe they're thinking about their girlfriend. Maybe they're thinking about who they wish would be their girlfriend. Where their affections are, that is where they are. Every time. Without fail. Without fail. And you know what? It doesn't matter what arena of life it's in. It applies absolutely everywhere, even in church. And we got to remember this. We're not to be primarily doctrine focused. We're not to be primarily truth focused. We're not to be primarily grace focused people. It's a wonderful thing. Freedom focused. I could go on down the list. Spiritual growth conscious. How to grow a church conscious. Our call is to be Christ conscious people. Primarily concerned with gazing on him. Time in his presence. To walk with him and talk with him. To be his followers. To know his heartbeat. And stay in step with it. Not a teaching formula. And not even a fantastic experience. I just want to make a little side note here. The fantastic and the sensational has all but taken over our society. We're driven by it, by the hype. If it's not fantastic, marvelous, extraordinary, above and beyond, miraculous, it's not worth it. It's useless to us. There's been so much hype that we have almost forgotten how to live in the everyday life and thinking that it's a drudgery and something to escape. I want to tell you this morning it's not. That is where you will spend the majority of your life here on earth, in the everyday, ordinary, lawn mowing, diaper changing, dog walking, etc., etc., work, school duties. And that's a beautiful place. That's the realm that God wants to meet you in. That's the realm of learning to remain in him, hearing his voice, knowing who he is. In each little thing, he wants to talk to you there. He wants to minister to you there. He wants to teach you there. That's the realm of transformation. The realm of transformation, that's where it happens. It's where the battle is fought, and we're taught to remain in his love and draw from the power source in all things. How many of you heard of Brother Lawrence? Yeah. Brother Lawrence was a 17th century monk whose letters have been put together in a book called Practicing His Presence. It's an incredible book about his intimacy with Jesus, the depths of being together with him in everything he did in everyday life. Brother Lawrence worked in the kitchen. He peeled potatoes. He prepared food hour after hour after hour every day. And there God ministered to him in such an incredible, beautiful way that I don't know how many hundreds of years later, what is it, 400 years later, millions of people have read and been ministered to and talked by. Henry Nouwen, I have a quote from him. You guys know who Henry Nouwen is? Most of you do. Henry Nouwen said this: when I was exposed to his thoughts for the first time, they seemed simple, even somewhat naive and unrealistic. But as I reflected on Brother Lawrence's advice, I became acutely aware that this is not just a nice idea for a 17th century monk, but the most important challenge in our present day life. Life does not come from living on the edge, does not come from running to the next big thing. It is found in intimacy with the life giver, walking with him in everyday life. Growing together, learning together through it all. Your accomplishments, your disappointments, your struggles, trying to train that untrainable dog, loving that person you just don't like. That's where it happens. That's where we're transformed into his likeness, when we breathe in from what he has to say. It's in the day-to-day life-giving staying connected to Jesus that we are transformed. Next verse. If you obey my commands. First, we talked about Christ consciousness in verse 9. Verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Remaining in his love, how? First, through Christ consciousness, and secondly, through surrender and obedience. You see, every time Daniel Williams, that's me, by the way, confronts a situation in himself, he's in deep trouble. I will end up in deep trouble. Why? Don't ask Christine why, but the why is because it's only through Jesus that I can see clearly. You can't see clearly on your own. You think you can, but you can't. And I just have to say this, we can never depart from the simplicity. I know this is repetitive this morning, but we can never depart from the simplicity that is in following Christ step by step. Be aware of him, remain in him, and submit to him. In other words, let's not muddy things up and call them profound. We have a tendency to do that. If we talk about them long enough, we can find another way out that gives us an excuse from being obedient to Jesus. It won't work. We often talk about we need more teaching. We do need teaching. Teaching is good, but teaching is not the goal. Teaching is for a reason, and the reality is we need more follow-through on what has already been taught, what has already been spoken. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. It's not as popular to talk about because it's not quite as fun. But there's been research that shows that when we hear something, when we listen to something, when we watch something, when we talk about something, the same chemical in the brain is released as when we actually do that something. Did you know that? So we can come away from a sermon, we can come away from a good teaching, and we can be very satisfied. We go home and we talk around the table, and we're very satisfied. We feel like we have done something, because that same chemical is released. But no transformation has taken place. James says we can easily deceive ourselves. For true transformation requires staying connected to Jesus, hearing his word, and then acting on what you have heard. And the beauty of this is that when that happens, your whole world blows up. Nothing will ever be the same. Everything starts firing. Everything starts clicking. Everything actually starts working. You don't have to come up with an excuse about why this teaching doesn't work. It does. There was a different problem. This is the reality. There is no difficulty inward or outward, inside of you, outside of you, that he is not ready to meet in you today. That was first person. If you remain in me, back to verse 7, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. There's no difficulty that God is not ready to meet in you today. Zero. Zip. And if you can truly get a hold of that, then you really don't need anything else. Back to Charles Swindoll. I listen to him every morning, by the way. He was talking about the stress. And the rest of the part of that was he was talking about what pharmaceutical is most prescribed, what drug is most prescribed in North America. Do you know what it is? It's Valium. Close. It's Valium. And all its various forms. It has to do with what? Stress. Stress. Calming us down. Stress relief. The question isn't if we can relate to be stressed. We got a stressed out nation to the T's. Why? We're in an age when we have the most labor-saving devices ever created, gadgets, creature comforts, and history, and yet we're anxious, we're overwhelmed, and the answer is this. We do not know how to remain in his love. We don't know. We've forgotten. We hear all that hype around us, and we exchange our intimacy with Jesus for principles, for teachings, for experiences. And all of a sudden, we're back in that reservoir life again, where we think we can push down the gas, we can go. But then it doesn't work. And we blame him. You cannot think a spiritual matter into clarity. You must obey. In intellectual matters, you can think things out, but in spiritual matters, you'll think yourself into a great mess every single time. If there's something God brings to our attention, we need to surrender and obey in that matter. Do as he asks, and the next thing will become clear as daylight. Now I see. The reasoning capacity will come after, once the blinders are off, and we can see things clearly again. I'm going to go on to John 14. John 14:15-17. If you love me, you will obey my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. Aha! I can see clearly now. Someone has revealed things to me. But I couldn't before I obeyed. Have you ever tried, and tried again, and then you said, forget it, I'm going to pray? This is what happens. All of a sudden things are revealed. I was laughing with Brian Bergen years ago. I can never forget the story Brian told me. He was trying to put in a floor in his house. He was trying to lay these slats. You know how they all click into one another, one after one. And he came to a corner where I don't know exactly what it was, but it just did not work. It was impossible. And the way he told the story, there was a lot of frustration. There were some words. I don't know if there were hammers flying, but it wasn't pretty. And then he gave up and he just prayed. Said, Lord, I can't do this. And boom, the idea came to mind. I can put this board in like this. Click. There it is. You know, my friends, this is where the rubber really hits the road. Obedience moves the matter from the realm of the analytical and the possible to the concrete and experiential. Once God has shown you something, once he's revealed it to you, what you do next will determine if you experience God and which direction your intimacy level with him is going to go. Obedience will reveal what you believe about God. It will determine if you will experience his work in you. And it will determine your intimacy level with God. Remaining in him, knowing him. If you step forward when he shows you something and act on it, you will grow more intimately connected. If you do not, distrust will start sneaking in. Is it really so? Is it really true? The moment when you must choose to obey God and your ability to follow through with it is based on how much nurture has been given to the relationship. And let me try to explain. See, you cannot obey God unless you believe him and trust him. You cannot believe and trust him unless you know him. And you cannot know him unless you spend time with him. Unless you remain in his love. Everything in our Christian life about knowing God, his will, about sanctification, about transformation, about experiencing full life, depends on the quality of your love relationship with him. And I'm just going to read some thoughts here slowly that I wrote down. Because this is a cycle. This isn't just a one-time thing. It's a cycle that grows on each other. We come to know him by being with him. Just like we come to know anyone. You come to know God by being with him. As we are with him, he speaks to us. And he reveals himself to us. He reveals his purpose. He reveals his ways. And as we remain with him, he extends an invitation for us to join him in what he's doing, what he's about. And as we join him, we do so through surrender and obedience to what he has said. When we surrender and obey, we come to experience him. We come to experience his work in us. We come to know him more, and we come to trust him more. All along, that love, trust, obedience, knowing cycle intensifies and deepens and grows, feeding off each other into deeper and deeper intimacy. That's transformation. That's how we were shaped into his likeness. There's no other way around it. 5 minutes. I'm going to do it. So I want to end with saying this. If you're anything like me, it's not that easy to remain in that cycle. It's good. We need that. We need that reminder. But it's not easy. We come through bumps in life when we get knocked off course. That antenna gets disconnected. We sometimes hardly even notice that it's happened. We're just pushing through. We're carrying on. And one day we maybe say something, I don't know what's going on. I thought I had the victory. Not sure why all these things are troubling me so much. Not sure why nothing's working anymore. Not sure why I'm doubting. Why I don't want to go to church anymore. You might say, I'm not conscious of his presence anymore. Is he there? Hunger for the word is gone. It's not what it used to be, and you don't know if you can trust him. Don't know if you even want to follow him anymore. I just want to say this. You don't have an obedience problem. It's not an obedience problem. It's an intimacy problem. It's a love problem. Don't just go home and try to do it now. I'm going to obey that and get on with it. Go to him. Get connected. Get to know him again. Spend time with him. He's got things to say. Way better than what I got to say to you. A love relationship is real. It's personal. Knows exactly where you're at. Chances are, if you're feeling like that, disconnected, that somewhere along the path, you became more conscious of the problems, of the things around you than you did of him. And you started to live in that place instead of remaining at his feet. And when you become preoccupied with your struggles, when you become preoccupied with the things that don't work, your marriage, your children, work situation, whatever it is, you try to start controlling it with your own strength because it's what you're conscious of. It's what you're occupied with. And when you start trying to control it with your own strength, you become disconnected from your power source and you start withering up. And slowly but surely, it sucks the life out of you. You know his invitation. Come to him again. Give him your spouse. Give him your children. He loves them intimately, beyond what you can imagine. He cares for them beyond what we ever could think. Would you trust him with them? Would you put them back where they belong under his care and surrender them without any need to control the outcome? You can't have any need to control the outcome of what's going to happen. Got to give it to him. When you do, you become connected in heavenly places. Places of ascendancy and authority where you can speak and pray together with Heavenly Father. And transformation starts to happen. Things start to change. In His power, in His way. God's grace is consistently and it's abundantly available to all of us, all of the time. All of the time. But it is in response to our surrender and obedience that it becomes real. That we actually experience it. That we know it. God is calling. He says, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to be with you. I want to walk together. If somewhere along the line you've become disconnected from Him, that call hasn't changed. He wants to love you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you now. And there's nothing you have to do other than go to Him for that to happen. If you've grown up with pharisaical thoughts that you have to get it together first, it's not true. The laws and the religion of the Pharisees built up this blockage through the doorway, where they raised it so high that no one could get through. But Jesus said, away with that. Just come as you are. No questions asked. Nothing to accomplish first. Come here. I love you the way you are. I want to be with you. Let's talk. But the reality is that when He got rid of that doorstep, pushed it away, He also lowered the mantle, the top. And it requires you to stoop down to enter in and get through. It requires a humility and surrender to go in and be. Final thing I just want to say is, I was thinking about it this morning when we were in worship and just beautiful songs about intimacy with Jesus, being together with Him. If you feel so disconnected that none of this even makes sense this morning, you've tried all that, you've heard it before, might be a little bit like the prodigal. You've run away. What was it that allowed the prodigal to come back home? What was it? He had squandered his money. He had squandered his reputation. He had squandered his life. He had failed in all categories you can fail in. His inheritance. But there was one thing that remained. No matter how far you've been disconnected or how long, you still remain the Father's son. You still remain His daughter. And there is a home for you to come back to. And He will meet you there. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I don't even know what to say other than we need you. We desperately need you. And where we've got somehow disconnected from you, Lord, where we're trying on our own, where we cannot get it to work, we want to surrender that this morning. And we want to just say, take it, Jesus. I trust you. With my life, with my family, with my work, with everything. I believe you and I'm going to trust you to the point of obedience because I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Would you do your work of transforming my mind, transforming my heart, that I might reflect you more, that I might see you. that others might see you and be changed in your presence, Jesus. Amen. Next week, Daniel's going to continue on the series of Intimacy with Jesus, so I invite you back, encourage you to come again, and don't forget to sign up for the Bible Project out in the foyer if you want to be part of those Thursday evenings. Bless you.